Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to take up a subject which we will complete within this broadcast. We're going to entitle the subject, Paul's Prayer for the Ephesians. This will be found in the third chapter of the Ephesian Epistle, if you wish to read with us, and I think you would profit by doing so. Now, we want to remember that Ephesus was a huge city in biblical times, and in that city was the temple of the goddess to the goddess Diana. Now, these Ephesians were idol worshippers before the gospel reached them. Paul is concerned about them. He is concerned about them in so many different ways. He spent most of the time, he spent more time with the church at Ephesus than any other church. He spent 3 years there, totaling all his time there, and they were so well taught. But Paul prays for them in a very, very powerful way. We're going to read, and if you have your Bibles near at hand now, from verse 13, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." It cost something to the Apostle Paul to bring that gospel to Ephesus. My tribulations for you. Then he says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth with knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Now let's go on and think of this as Paul's tender concern for them. Now let's concentrate on the prayer itself. Now what is his first request? Well, his first request is found in verse 16, that he would grant you, now this is what Paul is praying for, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And how rich is his glory? Oh, if it is in that same measure, it's in a beautiful, wonderful measure. This is what he requests, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, you know, lots of people, I think, do not become Christians because they think, "I could not live up to the Christian ethic." Well, the power of the Christian life is not in ourselves to live up to anything. It's in the Spirit of God. And that belongs to each and every one of us, that Spirit of God. And we serve the Lord in that power. He is the power of the Christian life. We're not saved. God doesn't save us and say, "Now look, I gave my son to die for you on the cross of Calvary, that he might put your sins away. And now because you trusted him, you've made him your Savior, I'm saving you. Now go out and see if you can't do something for me." No, God doesn't do that. He gives you the power to do it. Now here we are, and we have got this firmly fixed in our mind. The Spirit is the power of the Christian life. And then he goes on to say, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, the roots of our faith grounded in the love of the Lord Jesus, as we shall find, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Now this prayer goes beyond Ephesus. This prayer is good for any of the saints of God. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, yes to know the love of God, the love of Christ. I'm reading out of the Authorized Version, but one of the versions puts the word yes here. He says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Yes, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What does that mean? It means that you can't grasp the power of the love of Christ for you. How wonderful that love is, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, did you notice, please, that we read four dimensions describing the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? That ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. All right, now here are four dimensions. We only have three dimensions in the secular sphere of our lives, length and breadth and height. We describe a thing by being outside of it and seeing it. How can you use four dimensions to appreciate the love of Christ? Well, I'll tell you how. When you are talking about an object, giving four dimensions, you're in the middle of the object that you're describing. Then you can describe that object as four dimensions: above you, below you, beside you, in front of you, back of you, and the other side of you. You're surrounded completely by the love of Christ. Now, it passes knowledge, and that knowledge, we can't comprehend that love. Now, if you will, please, think of what will happen when you combine the power of the Spirit of God in our lives and the love of Christ to direct our lives. Something is going to happen. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 28, we have the garb and the robe, the beauty of the high priest of Israel, of which he was a type of our Lord Jesus, our great high priest, as he's called in the Hebrew epistle. All right, now, if you will, please, think of this. On the ephod that he went in before the Lord to perform his duties had two stones in two holders on each side of the ephod, and these two stones on his shoulders bear the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. 6 tribes on one stone and 6 tribes on the other stone. Now, in the breastplate, which he covered over his breast, that plate had 12 precious stones in it. The two stones on the shoulder pieces were both opal. But here, these are different. They're different in their beauty. But on these are engraved the names of the children of Israel. And then there is a golden chain that holds that breastplate up that is linked to the holder of the stones on the shoulder, so that he bears the names of the children of Israel on his shoulders and on his heart at the same time. Now, that is what Christ does for you and me. It's his power and his love that directs us. Now, if you will, please notice that power is available to all the saints of God, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, the Spirit of God is the power of the Christian life. Now, in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, for instance, we read there, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Love. The fruit of the Spirit will come out in our lives when the Spirit of God has control. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love will find a way to bless others around it. And you and I have that privilege of knowing the love of Christ within us, and the power of the Spirit, perhaps I better say first, within us, and the love of Christ there in our hearts as well, to direct that love. Now, if we will realize this, then we will be able to follow the blessing that results in verse 20 and verses 20 and 21, rather, of this third chapter of the Ephesians. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, you notice this is in the church. Was the church confined to Ephesus? No, indeed. This belongs to all of us right now. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, oh my, these adjectives, above all that we ask or think. Now, God can work things through us. I know this 20th verse of Ephesians is often quoted about the things that God has done with us or for us. Now, unto him that is able to do it exceeding abundantly of all we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. But this is not past tense. It's not what God has done for us. That's past tense. This is do, the present tense, and what God can do through you and for me, through me, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and the love of Christ in our hearts to direct that power. Something's going to happen. That is what happens in the Christian life when the power of Christ and the love of God directs, and the love of God too, as well as the love of Christ, directs that. We have a loving Father, a loving Christ, and a most powerful Holy Spirit. And incidentally, the 15th chapter of Romans tells us the Spirit loves us too. We're a beloved bunch of people, Christians. I'll tell you, we've got it made, brother and sister in Christ. Now, this is our blessing. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, just like a benediction, we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Think of that, if you will, please. You and I, the residents of that power and that love. Our Father, we thank you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will bless these thoughts to our hearts and help us to lay hold by faith of the power of the Spirit of God, not try to do things ourselves, Father. We can't. We err. We're so feeble. But live it and do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Father, answer our prayers in this respect. May this be our experience. Amen.